Great job. So the mistakes you see, that's me training two new guys. So, all right, that's not me. All right, so let's get into the sermon tonight, Fighting Out of the Darkness. I know this is a joyful time of year. We see all the wonderful and beautiful decorations. Christmas time tends to also be a very depressing time of year. Life seems to get a lot harder around the Christmas time of year. We start thinking of loved ones past. We start thinking of all those presents that we can't buy the kids that they want. Start looking at the credit card debt in January. Life in general, I know myself, you know, we've gone through some darkness. Life's just not fair. And life's hard. And we get really down and sad and brokenhearted. But I'm here tonight to hopefully we can together figure out a way to get through and to fight out of this darkness. Before we get into that, I want to just read a couple verses. We're not alone. And I know the devil likes to put you aside, and the devil likes to say, it's all you. You're all alone. You're trying to do this all by yourself. No one cares. No one's going to help you. This is all you. In Job chapter 30, verse 26, we know the story of Job. Now, I don't know anybody here that's gone through what Job has gone through. But he kind of sums everything up. He says in verse 26, when I looked for good, then evil came unto me. When I waited for light, there came darkness. You ever had one of those times where no matter what you did, it just seemed like the opposite always happens? It doesn't matter how hard you think you're praying for something. It don't matter how hard you think you're doing. You just think, every time you say it just can't get a lot of worse, you wake up the next morning and you go, oh, did I just jinx myself? You know, that's what Job felt like. And know that we're in good company. Just because we're going through a hard time, we're not alone. Job said, no matter what I looked for, the darkness came. No matter how hard I tried, the darkness came. And then we find in Psalms chapter 88, there's a handful of verses here in this psalmist writes. And this entire chapter, actually, if you read this whole chapter, it's really a very depressing chapter. And this poor psalmist, he starts here in these verses. He says, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah, the chief musician, unto upon Mahalath, Lenoth, all those people. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. They are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in depths. And unlike most of the other psalms, this entire psalm is this repeatedly over and over. This poor psalmist was going through gloom and lack of hope and despair. And he's writing his feelings out. He says, I feel like I'm dying. Can't go any farther. Can't get any worse. I'm in the pit. Have you forgotten me, Lord? How many times have we stood and we said, hello, is this even working? How many times can my car break down? I didn't even realize my car had that many parts. Amen. I'm pretty sure a mechanic makes up some of those words. I'm just telling you. See, we're not alone. Men and women in the Bible, they all went through hard times. And they struggled. And no matter how far the devil wants to try to set us aside, know, brothers and sisters, that there is an answer and there is a way out of every darkness. And praise the Lord that he gives it to us in his word. So that's what I want to try to work through tonight. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to spend time with brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, that we may learn how to be stronger, how to serve, and how we may love, no matter how unloved we seem we feel we are. Pray, dear God, that I say your words, preach your thoughts. Those that are not here, we ask, dear God, that you just talk to their hearts, let them know we love them, and let them know that you love them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So this week we've been pretty sick all week, so forgive me, my mouth gets dry real quick. I loaded up on all kinds of medication before we started, so I can't really tell you where this is going to go. Sunday school was kind of a blur, so we'll see how this goes, all right? 2 Samuel chapter 22. The first thing we need to remember, Remember that Jesus is our direction, all right? 2 Samuel 22, verse 29 says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Listen, if we're going to get out of the darkness, we got to seek the light bringer. Amen? We got to get out of this darkness. We got to seek the one who is the light, who gives us the candles, the lamp bringer. We've got to seek his mighty direction. Listen, a lot of times in our darkness times, we've gotten so focused on our problem. Listen, how am I going to get these cars back to running? How many parts can I replace before I can get Kayla's car to quit overheating? You know? And we get so focused on working on... We woke up this morning and pulled out for the church. There's a brand new puddle underneath the van. I have no idea what it was. I just prayed to Jesus, hope we make it to church, you know? I know a car could leak so many fluids and still run, but hey, hope and a prayer, right? Hope and a prayer. Listen, we get so focused on what am I going to do? What am I going to do to get us out of this problem? How am I going to fix this? Turn to the wife. What is going on? How are we going to get us out of this problem? Sometimes we just need to realize Jesus is the one that will get us out of the problem. We get so focused that these individuals, this person don't like me, they're mean to me. Every time I turn around, they're on my back, they're attacking me. I'm sorry. We get so focused on that, I don't even want to be around that person no more. It ain't about them. We got to get back to Jesus. We got to get focused back on what he is trying to get us done. We run around trying to figure it out how we can figure it. How we can fix it. Some people even begin to wonder, why is he doing this to me? Yeah. Forgive me. Right. Ooh. We need to get refocused back on Christ. And that is the only way we're going to get through that. I'm sorry. So we need to forget our ways. We need to forget our problems. We need to get focused on God's directions, what his word talks about, what he needs us to do. We got to remember Christ is our direction. Christ is always our answer. God, the devil will always try to get us away from him every time. Sorry about that. Psalms chapter 34. Just get that itch in your throat. It won't go away. We have to trust he has a plan. Psalm 34, verse 22 says, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." That word desolate is a word of laid to waste, in ruinous condition, neglected or destroyed. Listen, I don't care how far, how much darkness there is, how much trouble we feel we're in. If we trust in the Lord, he promises that he'll not neglect us, that he'll be there. If we trust that the things of Christ are the right things to do, he promises we'll not be desolate, we'll not do without. He'll take care of us all the while. He promises to trust in Jesus Christ, and his way will be made right. We can never forget that God has a path for each and every one of us. He has a way. I don't care what you think of yourself. I don't care what people say about you. You're somebody. You're somebody to God. Trust that he loves you enough to take care of you. Trust that he's made the way before you even get there. Trust, if it's his will, it will be done. Trust in Almighty Savior that died on that cross so that we can enjoy a heavenly home. Nobody else offers that. I don't care how many $9.99 deals this world will offer us, I guarantee you we'll always be a penny shy. Trust in the plan of God. And you start with little things, then the big things would be a lot more easy. Trust. Be tough. The psalmist says in 84:12, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." That's where your blessing comes from, is trusting in God. That's where your true blessings come from. You trust in God. Listen, there's a lot of wonderful things that this world will provide, and there's a lot of short-term joy that the world can give us. And I won't tell you any of them because Mom and Dad's here, but I've partaken in one or two. Okay? And they were fun for a moment or two, but it's fleeting. It don't last. You know where the true joy is? Serving the Lord. Watching people come down and learn and know, accept Jesus Christ. There's nothing like that. Watching new individuals get baptized. Watching individuals step up in positions that they know nothing about. Stand up here in the pulpit getting to preach even though I'm coughing my head off. Ain't nothing like serving the Lord. And this darkness is rolling around, but I don't care. I'll be a light as long as I can be. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Next one, Romans 15:4. In his word for hope. 15:4 says, "Whatsoever these things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that throughout peace and comfort of the scriptures we might have," what? Hope. It's a stay in the scriptures so you can learn how great our God is. So how do you know our God's a delivering God if you don't ever read the Bible? How do you know our God's a redeeming God if you've never read the Word? And we so often forget, we get so stuck and focused on something else, that getting back into the Word of God reminds us that we serve an all-powerful, glorious King of Kings. Sometimes we forget how much he loves us, that he sent his only begotten Son, so about whosoever believeth on him. Sometimes we forget, we think we're these little minuscule individuals, just ants that God's not paying any attention to when he focuses solely on every single one of us, one by one. We matter to God. And we got to stand his word. We learn. That gives us patience. Who needs patience? Comfort. In our darkest time, who needs patience or comfort more than a person in the darkest period of their life? Hope. Hope comes from God. And that comes from reading his word and staying in the word of God. Patience to know that God works on his timing. That's the hard one. God works on his timing. God works on his way. The comfort to get us through the hard times. We have hope. We have hope. Psalms 84:11. Hold. Hold to a higher standard. Walk uprightly. Psalms 84:11 says, "For the Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly." Listen. Uprightly talks about honestly, with strict observance to morality. When we get into those dark times, when we start getting away from God, some of our standards start to slip. And it's easy to think, you know what? It's not the end of the world if I do a little bit of this just to get by. Or next thing you know, the crowd starts to change a little bit. The lifestyle starts to switch just a little bit, ever so slightly. That's why it's called a gradual slide and not a fall off a cliff. See, holding on to those standards, whether we want to or not, is what helps us come out of that darkness a whole lot easier and with a lot less pain. Because sometimes when we get in those darkness, we get ashamed of how we lived in that darkness. And that makes it even harder to get out of that darkness because now, what are these people going to think about me? You know, it's easy when I start going through hard times for my church attendance to start to slack a little bit, my prayer life to start to slack a little bit, my Bible reading. Maybe I'm not doing a whole lot anymore. My standards start to slip. We got to remember that God set those standards in our lives to help us not slide. They're there for a reason. We have a lifestyle that he expects us to live. And it's a lifestyle that whether we agree to it or not will help us not slide into the darkness. And there are times where you just have to live it whether you want to live it or not. We don't give our kids the option to obey or not obey. There's times you just, because God said so. Because God said so. Why? Because God said so. It's the higher standards. And that also means that sometimes we got to clean it up. You know, we're going to have to look at our life sometimes and be like, listen, I'm in the darkness. Why am I in my darkness? Oh, I'm still doing this. I'm still doing this. And it may not be the end of the world stuff. It may not matter, they say. But it's the little stuff. Just a little personal thing. Several years ago, I made the decision to cut out all secular music. Okay? Amen. I cut it all out. My main reason being was I was having a hard time focusing fully on praising God, listening to stuff praising sin. And then there's all other kinds of stuff, movies and all that other kind of stuff. But I noticed my brain changed. My thinking changed when I cut it all out, when I went strictly to gospel music and Christian music. Okay, I'm not here to tell you all should do that. Y'all should do that, but I'm not here to tell you should do that. Okay? But it's one of those things that we have to, God sets standards in our lives, and whether, you know, was I going to hell because I was listening to B105 or whatever that stuff? No. But it was affecting my spirituality, and I was going through a period of my time there that things was really rough. And so those things were reminding me of the life that I used to live, and the devil kept saying, hey, you know, call that old friend up. Go back. It's not the end of a deal, you know. What if you could, no big deal. Go have a Snickers with that man. It ain't going to kill you, all right? Snickers is of the devil. Three Musketeers is of the Lord. You know that if you was in my class, all right? All I'm saying is, it's the standards. That's the problem with most of Christianity. What do they say? It's not all that bad. It's okay if you do this or that. As long as you're reaching the lost, right? What are you winning them to? The world? Amen. It's because we've hit areas where we've let it slide a little bit. We got to stick to these standards that God put in place. Listen, if God put it in his word, he expects us to live by it. Okay, I think we get this idea, and I've done it myself too, growing up, that it's pick and choose. If I want to follow this, then that's okay. If I don't want to follow it, well, then it's that buffet style. That's not how God did it. God said, this is how I expect us to live. These are the standards that we need to live by. So basically, we got to clean it up. What was the problem with the Jewish nation? You watch that cycle of sin. What do? They serve God. God tells them, I need you to wipe this area out. And they go in. What do? They kind of halfway wipe them out. Then they live with them. Then they start worshiping their gods. And then they find themselves in captivity. And then they're crying to the Lord going, why are we all slaves? Because you let your standards drop. And you moved in with the world. And now you're confused why things are falling apart. It's not rocket science. But what does God always do? He sent a prophet, right? He'd break them out. They'd get their act straight together again. And for a period of time until they circle it again. That's the sad thing about humanity, but that's the great thing about our God. We'll always fall and he'll always redeem. Our God loves, even when we don't deserve it. And even when we let our standards slide a little bit, we got a Lord that when we go to him and say, God, I'm sorry. I ain't been living the right way. Take me back. He's there. He's right there with open arms. Now, we still got consequences we're going to have to live by. But we got a God that when our standards drop a little bit, he's still right there. So we got to clean it up sometimes. Lastly is James. James chapter 1, verse 12. You know, I even used my tablet, and someone still moved James in my Bible. I think Randy was looking at it earlier. I'm not sure. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Do the work God called you to. Do it. Just get back in the saddle. I don't care how sad you've gotten, how broken you feel. If you quit working for God, get back up and work for God. You know, Andy's been working real hard in football and wrestling. And, you know, I watch him, you know, and he gets back up and he goes back out and he does. And being a sports person, we've all been there. We see, what do they tell you? Get back in the game. Dust it off. Get back in the game. All right, it's not the fall. It's how long you stay down. We're going to get knocked down. We're going to go through hard times. The world does not like the Lord we serve. All right? So if it's family, if it's friends, if it's strangers that have got us upset or angry or hurt, get up, dust it off, get back in the house of God and do what we're supposed to be doing. All right? We still got a job here. And as great as the pastor we have, I've said it before, he needs our help. He needs your help. We need you guys here encouraging him, helping him on door to door, teaching Sunday school classes. Even the greeters, especially the women that prepare our food. Amen? Do the work that he called you to do. And he's called us all to do something. Like I said before, you want to feel happy? Do the work of God. You want to get out of your darkness? You do the work of God. See, these are all the things that the devil starts working on us. He tries to get us not focused on Christ. He tries to get us to do our own thing. Gets us into the world's wisdom. All right? He tries to get us to hold on to his things. We have to do the will of God. And it's dark and it's hard. And sometimes it's new. You know, we've got several teenagers who come of adults now, and it's hard. Life is hard, and it never gets easy. It never gets easy. But, you know, there's peace in knowing the will of God. Amen. There is joy in knowing the will of God. I'll wrap up with Psalms 30, verse 5. It says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, oh, sweet joy, cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning." And I'm here to say, I don't know when your darkness will end. I don't know when my darkness will end. But I can tell you this, it will end. I can promise you that if you follow the word of God, I can promise you'll come out of the darkness. I'm not going to say life's going to get easier, but there's joy in the morning. Right around the corner. Darkness only lasts a little bit, then the sun shall rise. The sun shall rise, I promise. And I ask for you guys tonight, we're going into the Christmas season. Don't let this world get you down. Don't let the world get you out. Don't let the world break your heart, because we got a Savior that is brighter than any darkness we'll ever see. Joy comes in the morning. Pastor.
Amen. Stand with us if you wouldn't mind. You know, it is just like that, isn't it? When you think about it, I mean, such a joyous time, such an incredible time of the year. Yet sometimes it causes us to reflect on the darkness that's around us. Thank God that Jesus came as a light who shines over darkness. And we can trust that light, follow that light, and know that he has better things for us. Tonight, you know, if you just need to get some things right with God, maybe you're just wrestling with some of the things Trevor's talking about, and you're thinking about, I just don't see God in my life right now for some reason. I'm just missing it. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, trust and know that he's there and he loves you and cares for you. Don't ever doubt that for even a moment. We serve a great God who can bring you great joy. Page 487, Room at the Cross for you. Let's sing.